You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
If you want the uncut and extended version of this video that is 1 hour 14 minutes, go to patreon.com/traplawross. Also, you can now watch my new drops on Spotify, so go search me there. Here's the video. In the entertainment industry, getting your big break is just the beginning. Going from zero to hero seems like a monumental achievement. And while it seems like becoming a millionaire A-list celebrity means that you have life on easy street, things aren't quite as they seem. Because behind the glitz and glamour of Hollywood, there's a dark secret that nobody wants to admit. Not every millionaire is safe. Behind the red carpets, million-dollar chains, and Instagram flexes, some of the biggest celebrities have been silently paying the price just to stay alive. From rap legends forced to pay street taxes, to pop stars unknowingly funding criminal empires, becoming a megastar can put a mega target on your head. So today, we're going to be taking a closer look at the celebrities who got brutally extorted by gangs, and many of them are still too scared to speak out, starting with Chris Brown. Chris Breezy is a perfect example of a clean-hearted celebrity getting sucked into the murky world of gangs after he became a millionaire megastar. Born in Virginia, Chris Brown's upbringing was a million miles away from the red bandana-draped Blood Gang dominating the streets of South Central Los Angeles. Inspired by Michael Jackson as a child, Chris Brown was a natural performer, and he would quickly make a name for himself in the music industry, winning talent shows as a child.
I think I did one actual talent show. It was at summer camp.
Oh, okay.
It was at like a summer camp I did.
You better have a one.
Oh, I won.
Okay, I was going to say, because somebody got bragging rights.
Yeah, I know. I definitely won, and I did. It's funny. I did Thong Song Cisco.
Oh, man.
Bro.
And getting discovered as a teenager, eventually moving to New York and shopping his demo tapes to major record labels, resulting in a major deal with Jive Records alongside the likes of Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake. His first major single, Run It, swiftly rose to the number one spot on the Billboard charts, and he was instantly a multi-millionaire megastar. From here, he would go on to release hit after hit, landing more number one songs and huge collabs with other popping artists at the time, like T-Pain. Chris Brown was a megastar with a clean-cut image that made him a brand-safe A-list celebrity with the whole world at his feet. But that would all change in 2009, when his relationship with a fellow A-list megastar, Rihanna, would come to a dramatic end. The story circulated of Chris Brown assaulting her.
A police department release says the R&B singer and a woman got into an argument in a vehicle early Sunday. The release says the argument escalated when they got out of the car. Police responded to a 911 call. Officials say they found the alleged victim, but that Brown had already left.
This caused Chris Brown's image in the public to take a nosedive, losing his most lucrative endorsements and turning the public against him. This ultimately resulted in criminal charges.
It's 5 years probation and 6 months community labor for Chris Brown for his beating of Rihanna. The sentence handed down Tuesday by L.A. Superior Court Judge Patricia Snegg, as she also warned the R&B singer to stay away from his ex-girlfriend for 5 years.
Chris claimed himself to have gone from the top of the world to public enemy number one. But interestingly, Chris Brown was able to bounce back from his domestic violence convictions, but ultimately, his image was forever tainted. He could never be the clean-cut, singing and dancing darling that he once was. He was now a convicted criminal. And despite never having grown up in the life of crime, unfortunately now, with a stain on his reputation, the streets would come knocking. What's clear is that by the early 2010s, Chris Brown was seen regularly wearing red and repping Fruit Town Piru, a notorious blood set from Compton, California. But how this affiliation came to be is open to interpretation and rumors. Some have suggested that this was Chris Brown getting extorted or buying his way into the Blood Brotherhood for clout, while other rumors would circulate that he was actually jumped into the Fruit Town Pirus at the young age of 16 after a brief spell in an LA jail where he apparently turned down no squabbles. One clip would even circulate claiming to show Chris being initiated into the gang, though it really seemed to just show him vibing with his set. Interestingly, Chris Brown had been performing with the former child star Bow Wow in LA as early as 2007, and Bow Wow was later caught on camera also yelling "on Piru" whilst having a public meltdown during the filming of an episode of his reality TV show.
Ass over here, what happened?
One of y'all set on Piru.
What happened?
Not playing with
I just came out like, huh? What?
Online rumors have also suggested that Chris Brown had been hanging out with people associated with the game's music label Black Wall Street already in the late 2000s. This label including artists like Compton Menace, a Fruit Town Piru rapper who made an appearance in Tyga and Chris Brown's 2010 music video for the song G Stuff. Another post on a forum would allege that by 2013, Chris Brown had been having blood protection already for years, specifically stating that a rapper called Parlay Star, an alleged Pueblo Bishop Blood, had taken Chris under his wing when Chris first moved to LA, and even stood up for him during a beef with the former B2K R&B boy band member Raz B in 2010. On social media, a Twitter user would mention as early as 2011 that Chris Brown owed his life to Parlay and was paying him for protection, and people on Twitter would also take note of Chris Brown's 2011 song Last, where he raps how he's from Virginia but represents the Pirus. The media would eventually take note too, like Spin Magazine, who would report in June 2012 how Chris Brown had allegedly been throwing up blood gang signs during his violent brawl with Drake at a club in New York City. Soon, gossip outlets like TMZ would also run articles seemingly shocked about footage of Chris Brown throwing up gang signs in the club. Chris was apparently even caught spray painting Fruits Piru onto a wall in Hawaii of all places while on vacation. There were rumors that CB's gang affiliations were actually putting him in danger at this point, with TMZ also capturing Breezy getting pressed by some LA Crips while exiting a club in 2013.
Yo, scary ass Chris! Is that bulletproof? Is that bulletproof? I'm a Crip! Hell yeah, I'm bulletproof! Hey, I ain't never seen
Then came two incidents of shootings a few years later at events that he was present at, one being a concert in San Jose where five people were shot, and another a pre-VMA party, the latter resulting in fellow notorious industry blood Suge Knight actually getting hit by gunfire, as well as an innocent 19-year-old model. The Bloods around Chris Brown would use his connections to get all the way into his inner circle and business endeavors too. A 2017 clip would circulate showing a large group of menacing-looking Bloods that had apparently accompanied Chris backstage to a professional movie set, with Chris Brown throwing up gang signs and the Bloods eating their way through the catering tray.
Hello. We in here.
Yeah, he count money. He busy right here.
Big movie.
I need some bookies on there.
Hey.
They got the Bockley bit bookies.
Yeah,
we you up in me? Here, though.
Yeah, that way.
Yeah, Fruit Town, yeah. Athens, you know what I'm saying? Avenue Pyro, all that.
While Chris Brown wasn't himself from the streets of LA or a blood set originally, he was moving like he had true permission, throwing up the set with confidence and seemingly being accepted by the gang. His lyrics kept referencing his new set too, like the 2013 song War For You, where Briss Breezy raps how he stays in these streets and throws up the hand signs for Westside and the Pirus. Chris seemingly was also willing to put money up for the street figures in LA, one example being reports that he donated 1,000 pairs of sneakers to Compton kids. But interestingly, it seemed that the gangs on both sides of the LA streets were looking at Chris's bank account too, as he was notably seen also giving 1,000 pairs of shoes out as part of a donation for Roland 60's Crip Big U's Developing Options nonprofit, with a recently resurfaced clip showing accused extortionist Big U doubling Chris Brown's donation from 500 to 1,000 pairs on camera.
Back, if you can go to the club and spend $80,000 on bottles, and you can spend $10,000 to go in the club, but you haven't done nothing to help the neighborhood. You know, this young man just gave a 500 pair of tennis shoes. And he about to give out another 500 pair of tennis shoes.
And then the whispers began that Chris Breezy wasn't just repping a newfound brotherhood in the Blood Gang, but perhaps he was paying for the privilege and was being forced to contribute to the streets for his ongoing safety. Charlemagne the God would claim in a Vlad TV interview that Chris Brown was actually being extorted financially for his blood affiliations.
It makes no sense. Now you decide you're getting extorted. You in LA getting extorted. Let's call it what it is. Like, a lot of these guys are just out in LA getting extorted. That's it. You're really paying for protection when you could just pay for protection the legal way. You shouldn't be allowed to wear it. If I was the Bloods, if I was the Crips, if I was the, what is the Fruit Town Power Rules or whatever?
What's your Bloods?
What, Fruit Bloods? What, if I was them, I'd be upset.
However, conversely, respected Pyru, WAC 100, would also sit down for a Vlad TV interview, claiming that after 10 years of affiliation, Chris Brown at this point was truly a respected Fruit Town Pyru native.
Chris is from Virginia, and it seems like this thing came as an adult after he was already a multimillionaire. Am I right?
Definitely. With Chris Brown, it's been about 10 years of him been standing on, I'm from Fruit Town Pyru.
Well, he's not from Fruit Town Pyru.
Oh, he's from Fruit Town Pyru. He's done the things that he needed to do from what I'm seeing and understanding, you know, to get his respect.
Some people on Reddit would suggest that Chris couldn't possibly be a real Fruit Town Pyru due to his friendship with fellow Blood rapper YG, who represents the Treetop Pyrus, a big rival of the set, as the two had collaborated on the song Rodeo in 2020, with many commenting that this collab between two people claiming enemy gangs is proof that Chris isn't really living and dying by these affiliations. The war between the Treetops and Fruit Towns is incredibly deadly, as was explained in a Hood War Stories documentary on the topic.
In this episode, I'll be discussing the war between the Treetop Pyrus and the Fruit Town Pyrus. There have been some rift developing between Pyru sets of Compton, mostly over women and drugs, but it was quickly squashed. This particular dispute between the Treetop Pyrus and the neighborhood Pyrus was different. It wasn't resolved, and things began to escalate.
Furthermore, one vlog on Street TV actually claimed to show Fruit Town Pyru.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Members on their block denying Chris Brown's membership after both him and Soulja Boy claim to be Bloods.
I don't give a fuck about that. Soulja Boy, Chris Brown, shit, we don't need y'all blood on about that. We bracket regardless without no celebrities or none of that. Blood. The whole shit is just a publicity stunt to me. You feel me? Like, they just use the hood for fame. And this shit ain't nothing to play with. We got up in jail that have died and shed blood. We need the weed, man. This shit not nothing to play with.
Interestingly, the Fruit Towns would even demand payment for Chris repping the set.
Tell him to get Fruit Town out of his mouth and pay us. If you're going to get paid for this Fruit Town shit, pay us. Because we the ones that's, we making it known for you, niggas, bud, on Pyru, man. Pay us, bud. Y'all pay for you all that? Pay us, bud.
But despite this, TMZ articles would circulate, seeming to downplay Chris Brown's gang membership. The article revealed that unnamed leaders of the Fruit Towns spoke to TMZ, saying that they're actually down with Chris claiming that he's a Blood because he's hired several of them to work for him, and that Chris comes to the hood and hangs out with them, includes them in his music videos, and he donated 1,000 pairs of new shoes to Compton kids. Rap megastar Akon would claim that Chris Brown's gang ties actually essentially stopped him from reaching the heights that he could have hit with his career.
Because Chris got the talent.
Wow.
He just needed the direction. Imagine if Chris had Mike's team.
Right.
It would be something different.
And that's big.
But Chris is healthy. Like, he got Bloods around him. He got little gangbangers around him.
Right.
He don't have the guidance.
Right.
Meanwhile, Chris himself would openly and proudly claim to be a Pyru member on his social media, with many in the comments doubting his claims, saying, yeah, he's a Pyru as long as that payment keeps coming. And another said, anyone can be a Pyru as long as you're paying a kickback, and that only applies to fools with a lot of money. Another said, bro lets a few of them take his money and sleep with his women and acts like he's not from Virginia. However, in 2025, Chris Brown warned his fans not to wear red bandanas to his shows for safety reasons, while still reminding his audience that he is indeed big Brisk Breezy. At the end of the day, whether or not this is extortion is still up for debate. Perhaps Chris Brown has really been put on in Fruittown Piru, or maybe what began as extortion has flourished into a full-blown blood brotherhood. But while Chris Brown seemingly gained the full acceptance of his gang set, the same can't be said for Gunna. Gunna is an Atlanta rapper who took mumble rap to brave new heights. But despite not making particularly gangster rap or drill music, his street connections have always been a subtle theme of his drug-infused trap ballads. He allegedly claimed allegiance to a crew called the Shady Park Crips, an offshoot of the Crips gang that popped up in Atlanta that's been documented by various creators online.
Everybody
cop, man.
Look
at that.
Street.
I got
understand
that, man. We got chill, man.
That's so real.
You know what I mean?
What label you rap?
You already know that.
What label you rap?
FPC Lime Records Matcha.
Shady Park Crips / SPC, which the Shady Park Crips is a set of Rolling 60s NHCs, which they are located in Pointer Ridge / Shady Park. This next Crip set is pretty locked in with 4PF. Wanted B&B is a set of Rolling 60 neighborhood Crips that formed on Camp Belton. Like I said, they locked in with 4PF pretty heavy, plus 952 / K4K and PFK / 3L. They beef with BM5 / PRG, Casket Gang, 2727, and YSL.
Gunna's involvement with the Crip gang in his area has been debated over the years, with some suggesting that he's not a real Crip, while other rumors have suggested that his crew was actually involved in two murders.
In court, the district attorney's office argued that Gunna was somehow involved, and they were deliberately vague, involved in two murders related to a Crips gang in South Fulton called the Shady Park Crips. Now, the Shady Park Crips are real. They are involved in, like, violence. But I can't figure out which murders they're talking about or how Gunna might be involved.
A member of the Shady Park Crips out of South Fulton, he is under an investigation at this point in time by more than one law enforcement agency concerning at least two homicides committed by that gang during this time.
Yet despite the Crips gang spreading all over America, its original origins in Los Angeles mean that nationwide Crips still need to tiptoe around their counterparts out of state. And when Gunna was seen cripping with legendary Rolling 60s Crip rapper Nipsey Hussle in 2016, this is once again where notorious Rolling 60 and accused extortionist Big U enters the picture. Apparently, when Gunna went to Los Angeles, he would be forced to curry favor with the original Rolling 60s head honcho Big U. Interestingly, Gunna's association with the LA Rolling 60s had people on Reddit believing that he was actually a bigger Crip than Lil Baby, while some in the comments casted doubt on his affiliations, calling Gunna a party Crip or a Crip that doesn't put in work and just comes around to party, adding that Gunna has the Rolling 60s behind him as much as Soulja Boy has the Fruittown Piru's. In 2019, Gunna would attend Nipsey Hussle's funeral in LA, throwing up neighborhood Crip gang signs. But ironically, Gunna's close connection to the LA Crips meant that when the time came, he would have to contribute, especially in moments of tragedy. For example, when LA rapper Draco the Ruler died, who had connections to various Crip gangs who were part of his robbery crew turned rap collective The Stink Team, and certified Rolling 60s Crip Brick Baby actually revealed to Vlad TV that Gunna ended up paying for Draco the Ruler's funeral.
You said that Gunna paid for Draco's funeral.
Yeah.
Clearly this was a personal contribution to a close connection that Gunna had hoped to work with. And even though Brick Baby would confirm Gunna's Crip affiliations on No Jumper, he also inferred that Gunna's contributions to the local Rolling 60s weren't quite enough to gain his respect.
Gunna's a Crip, but Gunna ain't standing for what he's standing for right now. Nah. Like, he ain't giving. You know what I mean? Like, hey, man, you trying to start. You trying to get.
I'm being real, though.
He said who?
Hey, look, let me tell you something, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so Gunna's a Crip. Gunna, let's be real. Gunna did not. He ain't no like Crip now because he not pressing his line.
Brick would infer that Gunna hadn't remained solid enough under pressure to retain his certified Crip status. Part of the reason Gunna lost the respect of the Crips was his acceptance of a plea deal in the YSL RICO case, where despite being a Crip, he admitted the existence and affiliation with Young Thug's alleged YSL gang, which is actually a set of Atlanta Bloods.
I became affiliated with YSL around 2016. Is that true as it pertains to you, Mr. Kitchens?
Yes, ma'am.
YSL is a music label and a gang, and and you have personal knowledge that members or associates of YSL have committed crimes in furtherance of the gang?
Yes, ma'am.
You were present when law enforcement officers stopped a vehicle in which you were present along with Jeffrey Williams, wherein hydrocodone, methamphetamines, and a firearm were recovered. These items did not belong to you.
Yes, ma'am.
And do you acknowledge the following statement? I recognize, accept, and deeply regret that my talent and music indirectly furthered YSL the gang to the detriment of my community. YSL as a gang must end. Is that your statement or acknowledgement?
Yes.
Gunner taking the plea deal and admitting YSL was indeed a gang completely trashed his credibility in the streets and the music industry. Despite not strictly snitching on anyone, people believe that admitting this betrayed the street code. But ironically, he was betraying a gang that he'd got in with through music rather than his original gang in the streets. But in the end, Gunner left both his blood and Crip ties behind, rapping how he had moved his mother out of Shady Park in his song Go Crazy that was released after taking the plea deal. However, this didn't stop the accused extortion king of LA attempting to keep his grips on Gunner, as Big U would come out following Gunner's snitching allegations to say that he was still supporting Gunner and that he didn't believe that he was a snitch.
We're Gunner, right? This is my take on Gunner. I ain't seen nothing no Gunner. Gunner ain't never put no, ain't got no paperwork on Gunner. Gunner just, I feel, as far as he took his deal first, that was the only, but I ain't told on nobody. Y'all fall into this other with these other call everybody a rat. They ain't got no paperwork. Rat, you gotta have paperwork. When caught a case,
Big U would publicly promote Gunner's LA comeback shows after his release, with fans on Reddit surprised that the biggest Crip in LA was throwing their support behind an accused snitch. Gunner would publicly boast about having the support of LA Rollin 60s in the face of everyone calling him a snitch on his song Rodeo Drive, admitting that he gets threats from other gangs in LA, but he doesn't care because the Lokes, all the Crips, have his back. And in another line in the song, Gunner even seemed to admit to giving out money and guns in exchange for the gang's support, rapping how he gave out bands and bought bangers or guns so the real ones know he's really funding the gang members. Another picture posted publicly would show Gunner with the Rollin 60s, particularly Big U, and it was clear that Gunner was expected to show up and contribute to Big U's charitable organization, Developing Options, which included the Crenshaw Rams youth football team, with many commenting that this was straight up extortion. One comment said plainly, the set got paid and he got protection. That's why you see him showing love to the kids' football team, but that protection comes with conditions. Clearly, Gunner would need all the protection he could get, because Christopher Lovejoy, aka 600, would actually claim that Gunner came very close to being attacked by gang members while in LA. 600 claimed that when Gunner was at Crenshaw High School with Big U, Rollin 60's gang members tried to run up on him, and Big U had to protect him and even told people around to call the police.
Gunner was up at Crenshaw.
Like what?
Bro, yes, ma'am, to my high school, right? They like, yeah, he was up there with Big U. Yeah? They say, but guess what, though? Slid up there, trying to get at him. They said Big U was harboring it. Then, mind you, these niggas like, all them 60s the police, girl.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hey, bro. They say Big U told his people to call the police and told, no, man, this up here for the kids. You know, and told to call the call the police.
Perhaps this was an example of Big U protecting Gunna, or perhaps, since we know Big U had a habit of robbing people of their stuff and giving it back.
So basically it's like, cause he'll be like, he'll manipulate things. Like, we'll go and do something, and the same as we do it to, show up to the house like 10 minutes later when we trying to, you know, counting everything, right? And we be like, how the f*** they get the, oh, well, we're going to just give them like $40,000 back and stuff like that.
It wouldn't be unthinkable that maybe Big U arranged for Gunna to get pressed and then saved Gunna to make it seem like he had his back. However, many on the internet have struggled to take Big U's support for Gunna seriously and inferred that perhaps this show of support from the streets indeed came with a price. One post from Gunna dissing people for switching sides and calling to free Young Thug and Yak Gotti was met with a fire emoji response from Big U showing public support, with others joking in a comment about this post that Big U was only showing support to keep getting his monthly allowance from Gunna. Others said that Gunna is bringing money and opportunities to the Rolling 60s, so they have to support him regardless of the allegations. Another person made a crazy comment, pointing out that it was hypocritical of Big U to hate on WAC 100 for supporting confirmed snitch Tekeshi 6ix9ine, but then turning around and supporting Gunna, even predicting a Big U Rico 2 years before it happened, saying that Big U is attaching himself to Gunna for optics because he knew a Rico was coming, with some even going as far as to call him Big U-turn because of this. Whatever the reasons, it's still up for debate, but if Gunna was a case of a real gangster turned alleged snitch when things got too deep, nobody faked their gang ties and ended up in deeper trouble than 6ix9ine. So this is the part of the video where I was going to break down the entire story of 6ix9ine getting kidnapped and extorted by the 9 Trey Bloods, but I've done that story to death in many other videos on this channel, so we're going to skip over this. If you want to see that story, head on over to patreon.com/traplawross where you can watch the uncut version of this video. But for now, on to the next. Justin Bieber was at one point one of the most polished and clean-cut stars in the pop music world. The singing sensation was discovered at age 13 by talent manager and marketing executive Scooter Braun, who together with pop and R&B sensation Usher ended up signing a young Justin to their RBMG Records. Bieber would be a star from the very beginning. His first EP, My World, in 2009 would go on to break records, becoming the first debut project to have all 7 songs charting on the Billboard 100. And that was just the beginning, because the following year his song Baby would become a global mega hit, getting him 2 Grammy nominations and 4 AMA trophies, whilst the music video took over YouTube by getting over 1 billion views and becoming the most watched video on the platform. But eventually, at the pinnacle of stardom, he began to go slightly off the rails, and living in Hollywood with an enormous bank account made him easy food for the city's most vicious gangs. One video circulated claiming to show Justin with Selena Gomez in a rough bodega in Hollywood, being cornered by MS-13 gang members and eventually being forced to take off running in the alleyway.
Fans up! I don't want you to do that.
Huh? Alright, hey, I got Justin Bieber here at the Swami though. Are you in my hood, homie? MS Gang. Nice seeing you, bro. Have a good one. I just saw Bieber. I just seen Bieber. Leave it to Bieber. That's crazy. That's crazy. Hey, that's Justin Bieber. Yeah, that's Justin Bieber.
Yes.
Hey, you guys want to see Justin Bieber? Come over here to Santa Monica and Western. Bieber is just having some fever.
Yes.
Hello, that's Justin Bieber. That's Justin Bieber for you guys. He's in Hollywood. The worst part of it too. That's really Bieber. Hey Bieber, I f***ed you.
No, let's stop.
Nah, not really, homie, but you fame. It's a Bieber chucho.
Despite this video looking hilarious now, it seems that at the time, both Bieber and Selena Gomez's PR teams masterfully managed to suppress this clip from the media to stop it going viral. Another video would seem to show Justin in the wrong hood, surrounded by gang members who appeared to force him to sing and do push-ups for their amusement on camera.
Stupid, I'm not even dressed.
Justin Bieber in the hood, he in the trenches with the kid, chemo.
This girl, Justin Bieber.
On the say.
That's dope, watching this girl up. What's the deal, man?
What up, bro?
We're gonna go play some sports.
Bieber, man.
What's going on, man?
What's up, man?
Nice to meet you.
You're trying to get balled up.
I wanna play some ball. Bieber.
Right here, man. Justin Bieber in a hood, cuz. White boy. Seen that.
Holding back the faces I would make. I'm a fan and you're the rock star. Making it hard on me. Visualize a monster, cause you're too bad for me. Shot that arrow, I'm hit. Need you right near me. I try to maintain, so don't mind if I turn away. Yeah.
Okay.
My
20.
Six,
house
shoes.
Seven,
my little homie.
Eight. You push it like everybody else. House shoes on at the 12. Push it.
16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21.
All right.
Claims would later circulate on the California gang subreddit that Justin's car had actually broken down in the Imperial Court's hood, with the gang in the area being the PJ Watts Crips, who were the ones who allegedly made him do push-ups in the street, with a video of Bieber together with an alleged PJ Watts Crip OG circulating on Reddit. Funnily enough, some Redditors actually seem to respect Justin for appearing to keep his cool in the hood and kicking it with the set. One commenter said how he appreciated Biebs not going Hollywood and actually deciding to kick it with the gang, while another commenter accepted his certification as a Crip, calling him Justin Sieber. However, some denied this sentiment and claimed that because he's a rich white boy, he was never really in any danger. Others suggested that in reality, Justin was just doing what he had to survive, suggesting that he really did look scared and anxious to be singing for the gang members. Other Reddit users would push against the entire narrative of the car breaking down, arguing that he was actually there in the hood on purpose. And while those assumptions would actually be true, as this all turned out to be part of Bieber's community outreach work that he was doing on behalf of his church, this including the singing and the push-ups, which was seemingly Bieber's way of winning the audience onto his side. And this actually worked, as it seemed he was fully accepted by the locals, with him even going to the community rec center to continue programming with local kids and playing soccer and basketball.
Yeah!
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
We need a big day. Great.
Yeah, Russ?
I'm Kyle. Kyle, you're not Hi, Justin.
Look at Bing Bing Big Al. He's bigger than everybody.
Right.
But while this story about the Crips applying pressure to Bieber turned out to have a pretty uneventful explanation, behind the scenes, shady criminals had actually been attempting to shake Bieber down for his money for years, and he would be found at the center of a million-dollar extortion plot. According to reports, Justin Bieber was contacted by an unidentified man who claimed to be in possession of a clip of Bieber telling a racist joke on camera back when he was 15, with the unnamed extortionist demanding a whopping $1 million in exchange for keeping the tape out of the public eye. But Bieber held strong on the extortion efforts, turning down the offer of $1 million to keep this a secret. Apparently, the extortionist then claimed to be willing to accept smaller amounts, down to $800k, then $500k. Bieber told them to get lost, but apparently these weren't empty threats. And the story would get more complicated after it emerged that TMZ had been in possession of the video for several years before it released, raising some eyebrows, with reps from TMZ admitting that they indeed held the video for years, but denying claims made in Gawker that they had held it over Bieber's head in exchange for appearances on their platform and cooperation with stories, including one bizarre interview, which they claimed was the result of an organic meeting between TMZ hosts and a 16-year-old Bieber, but was allegedly an agreed-upon shakedown appearance that Bieber had to do to keep the video offline.
We got a struggling recording artist here today, right?
Yeah, we want to give him a chance. Yeah, maybe this is going to be his big break today.
We want to see what we can do for the guy. So we believe in finding undiscovered talent. So let's bring him in right now.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's going
hey, man,
on,
good
Justin?
To see
how you
you.
Doing? You're Justin...
Bieber. Bieber.
Bieber.
Bieber, yeah, it's Bieber. Bieber, yeah.
How's he?
It's good to
you
be
get
here.
The seat of power there now, Justin.
Yes.
You're so, running TMZ now.
Yes. So what do we have today?
So here's the thing.
Hold on. Can we explain to people, how did Justin Bieber end up...
We got to tell the story.
Walking by
TMZ. Well, what happened was I was at... which is downstairs.
Well, great. This is like the Batcave,
okay.
Justin. We're not supposed
You've
to tell people where we are. And you've already blown our cover.
Yo, you're not. You didn't tell me what not to say here.
I know. I was about to.
All right. So, all right. It's out. So you're down. You're down getting some sushi at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then my boy Harvey just walks in and is like, "What's up?" And I'm like, "Yo, Harvey." And then he's like,
"I said, yo, Justin."
Yeah. And then we just decided to just, you know, come here at TMZ
Live. Yeah.
I mean, his face just says it all. When they told him he wasn't supposed to drop the location on the office, you can tell...
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
But Justin just doesn't want to be there, and he's really on edge about saying the wrong thing. TMZ slickly denied that there was any kind of quid pro quo and suggested that they simply made an executive decision not to publish the tape all those years. But Gawker's Defamer gossip blog claimed that the footage was used for ransom and that an agreement had been made between Bieber and TMZ for appearances. While TMZ denied having extorted Bieber, allegations made in an investigative piece in The New Yorker suggested that the company had actually been running a bizarre cash-for-footage ring for years, sending covert agents all over the country with envelopes of cash and checks in exchange for damning footage of celebrities, including the Jay-Z and Solange elevator fight video, a Tupac Shakur sex tape, and even an $80,000 exchange that TMZ had made to get their hand on the Justin Bieber racist joke tapes. The New Yorker actually claimed that Harvey Levin from TMZ was a master manipulator of the media and that he knew how to spin content out of the allegation in the video before even releasing it, with staffers saying that they owned every angle related to the video and creating plans of running all different kinds of stories of people reacting to the incoming racist comments, seeking reactions from his family, friends, to the NAACP, with micro stories about the tape all contributing to the virality of the ongoing expose. Apparently, when Justin Bieber learned what was going on behind the scenes, he had a full-on meltdown and confessed to his team that the video was indeed real and that he thought he deleted it from a laptop that was later stolen. Justin's manager, Scooter Braun, even pleaded with Harvey Levin from TMZ not to post the video, initially being told savagely that they were going ahead with the release and that he'd need a statement from Scooter by the morning. But apparently overnight, Levin couldn't sleep and had a change of heart, promising not to post the video the next morning. And when Bieber's mentor Usher found out about the tape, a furious Usher allegedly sat Bieber in a room and played him racist videos to drive home just how hurtful these words could be. But regardless of TMZ's role in whipping up a frenzy, within a week of the anonymous extortion attempt, the two compromising videos did end up surfacing on TMZ, one of which depicted Bieber saying the N-word.
One less lonely. One less lonely. He's gonna be one less. If I kill you, I'll be part of the KKK.
And another video which depicted Bieber telling multiple racist jokes about black people.
In the brief clip, Justin Bieber can be heard telling a joke. And the punchline is a racial insult.
Father's Day.
That's just mean. That's just straight.
Why are black people afraid of chainsaws?
Don't even say it. Don't.
Despite the savage extortion attempt and public humiliation, in the end, after it leaked, Bieber owned up to the content of the videos, apologizing publicly and saying as a teenager he didn't realize the power of these words. Ultimately, whether Justin Bieber's run-ins with gangs were accidental or planned, there's one celebrity who seemed to have intentionally rubbed shoulders with gangs, eventually growing so tired of their drama that it actually forced him to flee the city of LA. And that person is basketball star Shaquille O'Neal. Shaq is a legendary basketball player. Born in Newark, New Jersey, and raised in a military household, after a standout college career at LSU, he was drafted first overall in 1992 by the Orlando Magic. In 1996, he signed with the LA Lakers, where he became a full-blown NBA superstar.
Literally none bigger, though, than the coast-to-coast move and change of address made by Shaquille O'Neal. And CNN's Brent Weber has the story about what it took to land him.
In every way, Shaquille O'Neal was the biggest free agent acquisition in NBA history. A 7-year contract to come play in Hollywood. And with it, $120 million of pressure, the likes of which Shaq has never seen.
And during his time with the Lakers, Shaq became one of the most dominant players in NBA history. He won 3 straight championships from 2000 to 2002, earned multiple All-Star selections, and was named as an NBA Finals MVP 3 times. And off the court, his charisma and marketability turned him into more than just an athlete, he became a global brand. He landed endorsement deals with companies like Pepsi, Reebok, and Icy Hot, starred in movies and commercials, and built a massive business portfolio.
I'm interested in the Shaq up here. I'm looking for the Shaq right in here.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Shaquille O'Neal. Shaq.
Who's the big man that slams the world with just one hand?
At his peak, Shaq wasn't just an NBA superstar, he was one of the most recognizable faces in the world, and he still is to this day considered an A-list celebrity despite retiring in 2011. He reportedly earned $286 million during his playing career, and today has a net worth rumored to be as much as $500 million. But unfortunately, his enormous riches made Shaq a huge target of gangs operating in Los Angeles. When the criminal complaint about accused role in 60s leader Big U dropped in 2025, there were bombshell allegations about Big U having extensively extorted celebrities and NBA players, with one particular allegation that he was also embezzling donations made to his charity Developing Options from former NBA MVPs. It was rumored that Shaquille O'Neal was one of these people, but things would apparently go much, much deeper, as not only was Big U soliciting donations from Shaq, but also calling in favors, with Shaq actually appearing on Big U's short-lived and unwisely titled Checking In podcast. Shaq played it incredibly cool through this interview, but it was clear that he knew Big U's street reputation. Big U would actually explain Shaq donating money to his organization in the interview, strategically pausing and making sure that he watched his words as he spoke, with Shaq saying that he felt he needed to do this to fit in with LA street politics. People in the comments claimed that Shaq must have had guns pointed at him off camera during this interview, and others came back to watch the video after finding out the details from the indictment, saying that watching this now is crazy work after hearing that Big U was attempting to extort Shaq. Another suggested that Shaq might have been used to directly fund the criminal enterprise. However, Shaq's Big U connection was allegedly only the tip of the iceberg when it came to being pressured by LA's gangs. One story circulated that Shaq had actually had a serious problem with the LA Crip gangs. During a time when he was making music in the 2000s, Shaq had seemingly made ties to LA gang, the Main Street Mafia Crips, and he would even seemingly shout them out and their affiliates in his 2006 track, Can't Stop the Rain. A video on the Warring Cali channel on YouTube broke down the whole story, suggesting that after robbery attempts, Shaq aligned himself with the Main Street Crips for protection.
Shaq would be involved with some heavy gang members, and ended up making some connections in the LA streets, some being with South Central gang members from the Main Street Crips. The Main Street Crips were a gang known for being involved in all aspects of bringing in money, from being big-time drug dealers, owning businesses, and being involved in the entertainment industry. Shaq would build a connection with several Main Street Crips, as they offered protection for him being in LA, as he was previously robbed before.
However, Shaq would end up getting into a beef with a Main Street Crip affiliate called Stutterbox over money, an incident covered in detail by YouTuber Kip Kame, who explained that Shaq had met Robert Ross, aka Stutterbox, at a party, and that Stutterbox had helped Shaq find new artists for a commission.
Enter Robert Ross, aka Stutterbox, due to his penchant for stuttering when he gets nervous or excited. He met Shaquille O'Neal at a party in LA in around 2003, and they became good friends. Stutterbox happened to know a lot of people around the music scene in LA. Shaq's new label, looking for new artists, commissioned Stutterbox to go and find new people for him, and he followed through, plus interest it seems.
Stutterbox discovered and brought Ray J to Shaq's record label and promised royalties, but Shaq's label partner only paid him a $20,000 finder's fee.
2007, Ross formed a relationship with his neighbor Ray J, and was able to bring him onto Shaq and Mark Stevens' label, with the help of Death Row affiliate Cass Jones, aka WAC 100. Robert Ross and Mark Stevens agreed that Ross would make a percentage of royalties based off of whatever music that Ray J and the label put out together. But when they met in New York a few weeks later to finalize the deal, Mark Stevens balked. He gave Ross a $20,000 finder's fee and refused to pay him any royalties.
Then Stutterbox advised Ray J not to miss out on the opportunity and sign the deal. Ray J's project topped the Billboard charts, made a lot of money, and Stutterbox tried to get the money he felt he was owed from Shaq.
So Stutterbox tells Ray J he signed the deal and,
I'll get my money out of these guys, how I get my money out of them.
The project ended up being a commercial success, topping the charts of Billboard Hip Hop and R&B. The main single was Sexy Can I, which actually had Shaq in the background of the music video.
Is it true that Shaq invested in your music career?
Yeah. He gave us, I think, $1.5 million for Sexy Can I.
Wow.
Money Mark, WAC 100, we had another partner, and then Shaq. And we recouped the number back for Shaq in, I don't know, 5 months, 6 months. and everything else has been profitable since.
All the while, Stutterbox was still trying to get his money back. After weeks of constantly requesting money from Mark and Shaq, there was no budging from either guy.
Stutterbox would then allegedly come up with a plan to shake down Shaq and his label partner.
Robert Ross come up with a conspiracy to blackmail and extort Shaquille O'Neal and Mark Stevens for the money that Robert Ross felt he was owed for putting together the Ray J deal.
The plan involved an alleged recording of Shaq caught on security camera cheating on his wife at one of Stutterbox's parties. Further complicating the situation, Shaq would hire a private investigator to follow his wife, only to discover that Stutterbox was sleeping with her. Now, Stutterbox alleged that Shaq, fearful of his tape becoming public and jealous of Stutterbox's affair with his wife, got help from other Main Street Mafia Crips, who forcibly kidnapped him and drove him to the house of a Main Street Mafia Crip shot caller called Del Dog, where they demanded tape, beat him, and robbed him. When interviewed by police, Shaq denied any involvement, telling police that even if there had been a tape, he wouldn't care about it being made public since he and his wife were getting divorced. Shaq then told the police that he met Main Street Crip gang members during a toy donation but didn't have a personal relationship with them, a statement that he would later contradict on Big U's podcast in 2021. Shaq would say that he severed ties with Stutterbox a year before due to his criminal history. While investigators did obtain phone records showcasing a flurry of calls between Shaq's label partners and Main Street Crip shot caller Del Dog's phone, in the end, the case against Shaq was dismissed, and he was able to walk away from the streets of LA, while the Main Street Mafia Crip shot caller that allegedly assisted with the kidnapping Del Dog would be shot and killed during an argument in 2015. Reggie Wright actually claimed during one interview that these gang-related incidents and others actually ended up running Shaq out of Los Angeles.
If they would have been found guilty, it was eventually it was going to go after Shaq. And so that's why Shaq. Then, let's see, I got...
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Rob before out there. You're just tired of LA.
However, not every celebrity gets themselves extorted, as some have grown to be exactly the kind of gangsters and bullies as the ones that are trying to take advantage of them. And perhaps no one is a better example of this than the rapper slash business mogul 50 Cent. For any rapper making it big in the music industry, Hollywood dreams can quickly turn into nightmares. That's because beneath the glittering surface lies a shadow empire ruled by gangs, where extortion isn't just a crime, it's a business model. Yet in the rap game, there's one name that's bulletproof to these tactics, Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. Born in South Jamaica, Queens, 50 was raised by a drug-dealing mother who got murdered when he was just 8 years old.
My mother passed when I was like 8 years old. I went to live with my grandparents. And she had me when she was 15, so, you know, back then it wasn't as common as the young girls have children at 15, a little more now than they did then. So at that point, she started hustling to be able to provide for me at that point. And she got killed when I was like 8 years old.
So when you say hustling, she was involved with what? She was...
Yeah, selling drugs.
Selling drugs.
Yeah.
Okay. And she was killed as a result of that?
Yeah.
By 12, he was hustling crack, dodging cops, and learning the rules of the streets.
And so how old were you when you got involved in selling drugs yourself?
Around 12.
12 years old, man.
Well, when I got to high school, my first year, I got arrested at school.
And how old is that? Because I'm not sure. High school is about 17, 16?
Yeah, 16.
Okay.
To 50, this wasn't a rap persona. It was his life. And just after breaking into the rap scene with his 1999 track How to Rob, where 50 fantasized about robbing the era's biggest rappers and singers, the following year, 50 took 9 bullets at point-blank range, including one to the face, his facial wound resulting in a swollen tongue, the loss of a wisdom tooth, and a slightly slurred voice. This wasn't just a random act of violence. According to people like ex-NYPD detective Bill Courtney, this was a hit orchestrated by forces that had connections to Ja Rule. As the shooting allegedly occurred after 50's people robbed Ja Rule for a watch, resulting in a fight between 50 and Ja.
50 Cent drops Ghetto Quran. Then at one point, 50 Cent and Ja Rule get into it. Now, from what I understand, and I've talked to a few people about this, one of 50 Cent's people ends up robbing Ja Rule for a watch. And 50 kind of got thrown into that situation because of his affiliation with it.
Right.
So a fist fight happens. And, you know, depending on who you talk to, you get a slightly different story. You know, allegedly 50 punched Ja, but then Ja said he punched 50. Who knows?
Right.
Who knows? But there was some sort of altercation and things started getting bad. And at the time, Ja Rule was the big rapper out of Queens.
Ja Rule was signed to Murder, Inc., and Murder, Inc. was allegedly linked to New York drug lord Kenneth Supreme McGriff, with Ja even giving shout-outs to Supreme during shows.
Governor Supreme in the house, what up? You know, whole Murder, Inc. family in this
one. Supreme was the head of his gang called the Supreme Team, which ran a drug network that took in over $200,000 a day, and he would later be accused of funneling up to $1 million in drug money through the Murder, Inc. music label. 50 Cent allegedly also had a personal issue with Supreme, as Supreme tried to Lil Bro him, but 50 wasn't going for it and would Lil Bro him back, as a former G-Unit affiliate Bang 'em Smurf would later tell Cam Capone News.
I believe you said one time that he came to the block and he tried to Lil Bro 50
he tried to Lil Bro 50 and go for that. Fifth Lil Bro them back. That's a fact. Yeah, so from there, I guess Primo knows, yeah, this boy gonna be a problem. That's a fact.
Another G-Unit member, Tony Yeo, would elaborate that Supreme had once come to the block and rubbed on 50's head, with 50 then doing the same thing back right in front of everyone.
I remember Prem coming to the block one day and try to sun 50 and rub his head, and 50 rubbed his head. And that was the day I know Prem didn't like 50.
Ongoing tensions between Ja Rule and 50 Cent, alongside other issues, led Supreme to setting his sights on the up-and-coming 50, and at a certain point he started tracking 50's location and whereabouts.
I don't know what might have happened between 50 and McGriff, but obviously 50 is a target. He knows he's a target. If you look at the two-way pager records that we found, historical records, you'll see people, unknown people, saying, 50's on Guy Brewer and 155th or wherever. So they were out looking for him.
Then on May the 24th, 2000, Supreme, along with two other associates, would go into 50 Cent's grandmother's house, stake in the house, and then catching 50 and shooting him.
So Kenneth McGriff, Chauncey Milliner, whose street name was Godby, Rob Lyons, whose street name was Son or Rob Love, they go to 50's grandmother's house and wait for 50, and the rest is history. They shoot him up.
While recovering from the shooting, 50 would get dropped from Columbia Records, but a few years later he would strike gold, signing with Eminem and Dr. Dre instead.
Mid-2000, I got shot, so I was dropped from Columbia Records, and then I came back, and the next deal was done in 2002 with Eminem and Dr. Dre.
50 himself later described the paranoia that he felt following the shooting, explaining how it heightened his senses and changed the way he moved.
Went through a portion of me actually being afraid. An experience, because I was hurt physically. I was hurt bad, so I was afraid, and I was uncomfortable with being afraid. And the only time I wasn't afraid is when I was actively involved in actually looking for somebody connected to it. You look at the bushes. When I see the bushes, I look through the bushes. The paranoia from the experience of actually being hurt heightens your senses to everything. The possibilities of things happen. It shifted me.
It would be seemingly this mentality that later helped 50 avoid trouble, when he would take his music career from the streets of New York to the entertainment capital of Los Angeles, where local big shots from the intertwined world of gangs and the rap industry would attempt to show the newcomer who was in charge. But 50 had refused to be owned by the gangs in New York, and if 9 bullets didn't change that, there would be no way some LA Bloods could either. I'm of course talking about Death Row Records CEO and Mob Piru member Shug Knight, who would turn up with about 30 Mexican gang members to confront 50 and the rest of the team, including Eminem, while they were in LA to shoot the music video for 50's first mega hit in the club.
making a video, my new video called In the Club, produced by Dr. Dre. Video's kind of big production, you know what I mean? Dre sent me the record. I don't think he envisioned a club record when he sent it to me, but that's what I did with it. And he did what he did, you know, he sprinkled his little magic on it. Now it's a hit record.
What's going on here right now? What is going on here?
About to operate on 50.
We're about to operate on this man. It's Shady Aftermath Artist Development. What's going on here? And we're trying to develop the artist and make sure that he's up to par. So
that's right.
People who were there would later recall the story on numerous occasions, including 50 himself, who would tell how everyone from the makeup team to the cameraman had dropped everything they were doing after Suge Knight arrived because they were so scared of him.
I remember the time, actually, it's funny because he showed up to the In the Club video shoot. He came, it was like, Shug's outside! Shug's outside! Everybody like, pshh, pshh, pshh. It was running, dropping, pshh, like, man, everybody going, pow. I'm in front of the camera like this.
I never seen anybody have the kind of fear that they had for Shug, Shug came around, like, In the Club?
Yeah, that's the first time I seen Mexicans with tattoos on their face.
What happened? Oh, he came in a video shoot. He was in the Mexicans with him. He came, they looked, they said, Shug outside.
Man, everything dropped. Cameras, video people, makeup,
everybody.
However, 50 was unfazed, confronting Suge head on, essentially telling him that he better get out of there or things will go down.
What'd y'all do though?
We came outside.
Open the box. Open the gun right there at the box. The gun come across the street. We don't understand none of that shit. I don't know what they were running for. Open the box, get out of here, go.
And according to 50, Eminem and his best friend, the late rapper Proof, would also confront Suge, with Proof being particularly angry to meet him due to the rumor that Suge had gotten Tupac killed.
Eminem came outside too.
Yeah. You know, M had a different thing going on, like him and Proof.
Mm-hmm.
Proof cussed him out a couple times.
Sure,
seen him places and just
Yeah. Rest in peace to Proof. He was a wild boy.
Yeah, he didn't care. Like, you know, he'd do it.
Yeah, because like I think what happened was Suge tried to shake Proof's hand, and Proof was like, "You said you killed Pop. Yeah. Get out my face."
Bizarre from Eminem's D12 group, on the other hand, would say that the situation was like a Mexican standoff scene straight out of an old school John Wayne Western, which would end with Suge simply taking a puff of his cigar and making a hand motion to his posse that it was time to leave.
I just heard somebody say, "Suge Knight's here," and I looked, and Suge was there, and he had some essays with him though. You know what I'm saying? He all essays. And he looked at Fifth, and Fifth was like, "What's up? What's up?" And Suge just, like, he hit a cigar one time, and then he did, like, this little, they wrap it up, and then everybody just turned around and left. It was like a John Wayne movie or some
Suge would eventually also comment on the incident, giving a much different version of the events and blaming 50 for talking about the incident in an interview and getting Suge a parole violation.
50 did an interview with Newsweek, Entertainment Weekly or whatever, and they asked him about that. They said, "Hey, didn't they come up there to get y'all?" And 50 was like, "No, he came. He just wanted to know who the new kid on the block was. They came up there real deep with Mexican gang members, black gang members." He said, "Is that a violation of Suge Knight parole being around gang members?" So, and I ended up getting violated on that attack.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Yeah. But Suge wasn't the only local big-time gangster to try and press 50 in LA, with another one being allegedly the music manager and Pacoima Pyru, Rack 100, who's best known for managing The Game and Blueface, while also more recently becoming a podcaster on No Jumper. According to Rack himself, back in the day, he and associates planned to intimidate 50 at the SLS Luxury Hotel in Beverly Hills, but when Rack and his goons arrived at the hotel, they would meet a tactical security team made up of former Navy SEALs who were positioned all around the venue, while 50 would welcome them with a diabolical grin.
Yo, Rack. 50 he gonna be at the SLS hotel. What? Yeah, little bar area over there. He gonna be in the word come from down. Paul Rule, we through there. This one is on. Pulled up in this motherfucking SLS hotel. Coming that like 10 of us. We coming in this motherfucker. I stop. I'm looking around. I'm like, something don't seem right about this scenery. Man, it's got about 8 Navy SEALs. Real. These niggas got in the air. These is moving with the tactical head. They see this moving. They position around us, back at us and smirks. Yeah, we ain't got no win with that. See you later, homie. Look back at us and grin. Never forget the grin.
Know what I told? He gave you that power smirk.
Hey, listen. Hey, Black. Know what I told myself? Yeah. I need to incorporate that grin in my program.
Many years later, 50 would also recount the story, explaining that he comes from a place where you have to be ready.
You were out at a bar, someone was coming there, and they were surprised to see you had some Navy SEAL kind of characters with you. And I imagine this was like long time ago we're talking.
You know what happens? I come from like a place where you have to be ready. Don't get ready. You got to be ready, right? And I would layer things around me to prepare for different type of situations. And
in the end, 50 Cent's immunity to extortion isn't about muscle, it's about the mindset. Coming from hustling hard in the streets of Queens, New York, but elevating himself to a business mogul, 50 had to turn every bullet and every betrayal into leverage and strength. And while gangs still fight for blocks, he fights for his legacy. And as long as there's money to be made, you can bet that 50 will still be there, still smirking and holding down his status as perhaps hip-hop's least extortable rapper.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.